Thanks, everyone. It's so great to be here. I'm so grateful for these opportunities. I think somebody from your meeting attended another meeting where I spoke and then reached out, and I just love that. I'm so grateful to have something to share because I came into these rooms, just under 5 years ago, feeling useless, feeling like I had nothing to offer anyone, and full of despair. And so it's a miracle that today I'm like, I have something I can share. I think I could help. And I'm going to share about that. So I'd like to, talk about, how I ended up here. It took me a long time to find OA. I was 50 when I entered the rooms. We were in the pandemic, because I had a hard time seeing what my real problem was. And OA isn't a diet program. And the 12-step program, as outlined in the big book, which is where the OA has derived, their 12 steps, that was not going to be very appealing to me for a very long time because I knew I struggled with food, but I actually, for the first part of my life, mostly thought I struggled with my weight. Thought my weight was a problem, and I didn't really see my food behaviors as a problem, except as it affected my weight. So, I would, I mean, looking back now, I can see from 4 years old on, I was turning to certain sweet things when I could, that I'd love that. I had some sort of craving that my brother didn't, because my brother was the one who told on me. So, he wasn't partaking. There was something different going on with me, but I didn't really see how food was affecting me, except that when I was in my teens and then my 20s and 30s, I would get frustrated because I'd be like, I just need to lose weight. That's my problem. And so then I try to restrict the food. In my experience, I haven't met a compulsive eater who wasn't a restrictor, because we're trying to get that weight off. We're trying to control the food. And so I'm restricting. And then, of course, I'm restricting so much because I had an insane way of thinking that I went falling into binges. And so I would judge the binge. Like, that binge is my problem because it's why? Because it's affecting my weight. And I carried that belief for a long time. And I sort of had a problem with compulsive eating in my early teens, but I wasn't chronic then. And I think if I could have seen the problem, I think I could have stopped then. And I related with people I know who can eat compulsively. They can go out for Thanksgiving or Christmas and just like eat way too much, or they can get something that I can be like, oh, I ate way too many of those, But then they return to normal eating. And I couldn't do that. I didn't understand that. But I was doing that in my teens. Once I was out on my own, living on my own, and I had complete autonomy to do whatever I want and no one would know, I quickly became chronic. It probably took me a year to fall fully into addiction. And that affected every area of my life. It affected my finances. I mean, I'm struggling to pay bills because I'm eating away, the money I need for bills. I'm like stealing from my cash registers at work because I don't know how I'm going to pay rent. And then on the way home, I'm stopping at a confectionery, or which is a corner store. I don't know if that's a Canadian word, a corner store, or at a restaurant, and I'm buying all kinds of things with the money I've stolen so that I can pay my rent because I've spent my money on food. Like, I really was out of control. I was spending my student loans at university on like food choices, that I eventually had to drop classes because I couldn't keep paying for things. And this just persisted. So, I mean, I'm finishing university. I don't even have a degree. I've gone there for 4 years and I have nothing to show for it except for about 50 pounds, right? And this is, and but I'm in a complete state of denial. And I think one of the key signs of addiction is denial. And I was really good at it. And so, as I'm spending all this money on food and struggling with the food and getting it, I'm still just like, My weight's a problem. Why do I have such a low metabolism? And this is where I can't see the true from the false, right? Like, I got my thyroid checked so many times, and it was always fine. I mean, the truth is now, I'll be honest, I actually have kind of a lower metabolism, but all that means is I'm less hungry if I'm a normal eater. That's all that means. I should be saving money, not spending it all. So there was really abnormal thinking going on. So this progressed, and then I got into exercise. I had tried Weigh and Pays. I wasn't keen on diets. My mom had done Weight Watchers, and all I know is my mom was miserable when she was losing the weight, and she was happy for about 2 weeks when she kept the weight off, and then she was miserable as the weight went on, and it affected our home. So I was really judging of that. Oh, I don't want that. I don't want programs. I thought the program she did was a problem. But I would do calorie restricting. I would count. I weighed and measured things. I tracked fiber. I decided fiber. I just needed to get more full. I tracked fiber in my 20s like I was an 80-year-old woman. Like, it was an insanity to this that I couldn't figure out. And inevitably, I would still end up in the food or the drinks. So in my 30s, I thought, okay, I just gotta improve my life. I'm just miserable. I don't have a good education. I'm supposed to be smart, but I have no degree, and I've been lying about it, like, to everyone, right? And I don't have any money. I'd already declared bankruptcy at one point. And so this is me just like not dealing with life, avoidance, avoidance, denial, denial, right? And but on the outside, everybody thinks I've got it together. Like, people don't know this, right? And so I was good at like wearing the mask, except my body couldn't con that was the mask I couldn't control. And so I decided in my 30s, the problem is I'm just like I need to improve myself. And so I went to my boss and I told them I'd lied on my resume. I didn't have a degree. They fired me on the spot, which was fine because I had the food that comforted me. So I got through that. And then I moved. I went back to university. I got a degree, did really well, got another degree, got into a career that was prestigious, that paid really well. I dumped the old husband. I was like, I got to upgrade the husband, got a new husband. This guy was like, nice guy, cooks, cleans. I'm winning the lottery, right? I start having kids, and then I discover exercise, and I'm like, oh, well, I love to move. I'll get into exercise. And just like an addict, I got into exercise addictively, and exercise became my diet. That was where I could hide my calories, and that was where I could hide my eating. And I did that for 10 years. And I was like, I have solved my problems, because by then I had gone to a course, and it was a 6 week class on how to chew your food. I am not kidding. I paid money for it, signed up and went. And it was like, if I just learn how to enjoy food and chew it slowly, and I can tell you, all I learned was that if I eat fast food slowly, it tastes gross. So you need to eat it fast, right? So I didn't come away with much, except she said something. The nutritionist, who was not a compulsive eater and could not understand why her program kept failing, she said, statistically, anyone who loses more than 10% of their body weight in a year, statistically, only 5% of those people keep it off after 5 years. And that hit me hard. And I began to realize, like, I can lose the weight. I just gain it back. I can, and I was like, my problem has been just trying to lose the weight. I've got to figure out how to keep it off. And I'm going to say that is a problem that every overweight person who comes in these rooms is struggling with. We know how to lose weight. We are experts at losing weight. We just can't keep it off. That's the sign of my addiction. That's the chronic compulsive eater. So here I do the exercise. Well, I get into it. I get more and more into it. I'm running 5Ks. I'm running 10Ks. I'm getting to marathons. I am feeling like an Olympian, and my kids are there with signs, go, mommy. And I'm feeling so empowered. I'm earning the living I want. I've got the husband I want. And I finally am keeping a healthy weight. So, and I did that for 10 years. So I was like, I beat the statistics. Look at me. But of course, what I didn't realize, because I'm a denier, I live in denial, was my eating was getting worse and worse. And I was just exercising more and more and more, to the point where I was exercising every day, a couple hours every day, to the detriment of my own family. Like, I'm not seeing my kids because I'm at the gym or I'm out running. And of course, how confusing for them, because they're all like, people are like, you're so amazing. You're such a great example for your kids. My kids aren't even seeing me. And I don't even see that as not a great example, right? And 10 years in, I'm going to say a higher power intervened and I got an injury. I got an Achilles injury that was significant. And I could not even walk fast for a year. Like I couldn't cycle. Like all of a sudden, everything just went to a halt. And what happened was the weight I had lost and kept off for 10 years came back on so fast. It was like over a 6 month period, I gained probably 50 pounds. People that had known me for that decade saw me and did not recognize me, didn't know who I was. And there was a pause there where I went, okay, I have lots of friends who do as much activity as I do. And when they get an injury, their weight, this doesn't happen. Something is going on. There's something wrong here. And I then began to see that I had a food problem. And that took me till my mid-40s. I don't have a weight problem. I have a food problem. My weight is just a symptom. And for many people in the rooms, the weight is not a symptom. Like if they're into bulimia, if they're anorexic, like the weight is not the symptom, right? But but for me, thankfully, I'm grateful now. My weight was telling me your food is a problem. So I thought the food was a problem, but and I was trying to get to the food, but when I entered the rooms, I'm going to tell you actually why I entered the rooms. And as soon as I got recovered, I could see it. I came to the rooms because at that point I had tried some more therapy. I'd had a therapist forever. I'd tried some cognitive behavioral treatments. I had tried some accountability partners, and inevitably the food was getting worse and worse to the point where by the time I came here, I really couldn't, if I could string together 2 or 3 days, that was a good string. And so I was like, okay, I can see the food's a problem, but I'm still, me knowing that, I was still powerless. I really couldn't stop it. And then I realized when I came into these rooms, I came into meetings, and this was where I found people like me, which was a great relief because no longer was I having to explain why I couldn't like stop eating the food. Like I'd gotten tired of, the doctors who said, well, why didn't you just lose 30 pounds? Kind of like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that, So I was like, no, these people understand. They understand we can't seem to stop once we start. And even when we do stop, somehow we end up back into it. I mean, I put down sugar for 6 months in my 20s. I was making my own ketchup then. I mean, I put down sugar again for 3 months in my 40s, but I could do it for less time. And inevitably, for no reason at all, I would pick it back up. So I was like, what is wrong with me? And then I realized when I came in the room, somebody talked about the obsession, the mental obsession. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wake up thinking about the food. I think about the food throughout the day. Like, should I have another bite? Should I have one plate, two plates? What should I make? I really want that, but I should have this. This was all through the day making food decisions and kind of always like arguing, wrestling with myself, right? Well, I want this. No, Cheryl, don't have this. Try to distract myself. I mean, distraction became my new denial. If I just distract myself, which just turned me into a workaholic, who basically had no time for anyone. And so I was just burning out. That's all was happening. I was burning out. So the distraction, again, it only went so far. And when somebody talked about a mental obsession, I related and I went, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Because a good day for me was I'm thinking about the food or the drinks and I'm fighting it all day and I don't get into it. And a bad day was I'm thinking about it and I'm fighting it and I get into it. And I realized, well, if I can't control my thoughts, no wonder I can't control my behaviors. And this is where I discovered the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I did not understand at a meeting why we're talking about AA alcoholics, because I didn't drink. But every time I put my name in that book, it was me. And I realized how sick I was. And I also experienced hope. Because I realized if these people, as sick as they were, could recover, maybe I can recover. And that was when I realized that my food had not been my problem. The reason I'd come into the rooms, I think I finally circled back to that. The reason I come into the rooms was I was struggling with life, and I probably was struggling with life my whole life. We'd moved a lot as a kid. I had lots of loneliness. And the food was very comforting. At that point in my life, when I came into the rooms, my daughters were early teens, and my husband and my daughters were not getting along. And they were coming to me for support. And if I supported them, he felt betrayed. And if I supported him, they felt betrayed. And I was triangulated. And we were going to counseling, and I was just in despair. I was like, I don't know what to do. I remember saying to the therapist, I'm between a rock and a hard place. And the food was giving me comfort. It was giving me relief. So the food actually, my whole life had helped me cope. That is what makes me a chronic compulsive eater. I don't use food in a normal way. I use food in an abnormal way to deal with life, to deal with like this need to like, my feelings get hurt easily. I get easily offended. You know, things don't go my way. You know, I mean, I couldn't deal with life. I feel trapped. I don't feel loved, you know. And so the food I realized actually had been my solution. It had never been my problem. It had been my solution. And so then I was like, well, now I need a solution that works. And there was nothing I could imagine that anyone could offer me that would work, including meetings. The meetings were great because I didn't feel alone, but the meetings did not give me a solution. They gave me a place to find somebody like me who could show me a solution. That was what the meetings did. So I went to meetings pretty regularly, almost every day, for 6 months. And in that 6 months, I looked for somebody to help me, that somebody as sick as me who was no longer sick. And I did find various people who were not struggling with their weight, and gave me plans for abstinence, but I needed something beyond abstinence. I needed recovery, and I did not know what that meant. I didn't understand that. And the big book actually talks about recovery more times than almost anything else. It's 56 times it talks about recovery. It actually, the first page says, you know, it is a book of thousands of alcoholics who have recovered from alcoholism. So I wanted recovery. I was all for abstinence, but at that point I was like, I don't know how long I can keep it. You know, like unless you give me something else, do not give me a plan of eating. I tried that. I can only do it for a few days. You know, don't tell me to journal because then I will just start rabbit holing into all the things all the people did for me, right? Like I needed something more than that. Not to say those things aren't helpful, but in the wrong order. I'm just going to use them as a human aid solution. So I needed something first. And what I needed was a spiritual way of living. That is what the 12-step program is about. It is about a spiritual, not a spiritual belief. It's about a spiritual way of living. That was the problem I had. I struggled with the spiritual way of living. And I had beliefs in God and all that stuff, although I'd kind of changed them. I grew up religious, but then I kind of got agnostic. I was sort of figuring it all out. And I thought, I've got a spiritual belief system. How is this going to help? But I was like, actually, my beliefs were not how I live my life. I live my life running the show, full of fear, afraid, trying to fix things, trying to rescue, trying to control. I mean, I actually thought at one point, I don't know why I've ever thought I needed to believe in God. I've been acting like God, I've been playing God my whole life. And I began to see that was my malady. That was my struggle. And the food gave me comfort when on every so often I would realize I'm not God. There's only so far I can go. And then I run out of options. I'm stuck. I'm afraid. I'm resentful. I'm angry. I'm harmed. I'm hurt, right? I can't seem to control this whole world. People do things that affect me. And now when I'm disturbed, what do I do? I go to the food. The food is my solution. So if I was going to ever be able to put down the food, I needed a new solution. And it also made sense why putting down the food only lasted so long, because I was taking away my solution. So I 6 months in, I went to a meeting kind of like this, and there was somebody sharing their story, and they were talking about their past, and they sounded as sick as me. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she did that too. I mean, I had like done a big binge on some vegetables right before I came into the meetings and like got a lot of gas. And it was like, how do I call? Do I call 911 for gas? I don't know. It felt like really scary. And I was like, this is crazy, Cheryl. So like, I mean, I would work my way down the food list, right? But if all else failed, I would turn to something. And she sounded really sick like me. And then she said that she had found somebody who had been freed, and they had taken her through the 12 steps as precisely written in the big book. That was the only book she used, and that was a book they went through, and that person showed her how to do the steps the way it describes, and she had the same experience that person did, where as a result of doing the steps, she had been returned to neutrality. Not normalcy. She was not a normal leader, but she had been returned to neutrality. So she could have all kinds of sweet stuff or high fat stuff in her house on the kitchen counters, and she could just walk by them. They didn't call her name. She could go out to potluck. She can go out to buffets and not be attracted to those foods. She had been restored to sanity. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that sounds like a miracle, like magic. I want what she has. So she was like, I can help you if you want help. And I reached out to her after. I said, I really want what you have. And the big book says two things. It says, find someone who wants what you have, and then ask yourself if you're willing to go to any lengths to get it. And so I was really desperate. I was like the alcoholic who could just sit at the at that point was like, I wasn't even trying to diet anymore. I wasn't trying to lose weight. I knew I would just gain it back. I knew it wouldn't work. So when I reached out to her, she offered to take me through the steps, and we met every day and we went through the steps each day. And in there, as I was doing the steps, exactly as she told me, I did not understand them. I was brand new to OA, really. So I didn't know the program. I didn't understand them. And she said, that's okay. It's not a program of learning. It's not a program of understanding. It's a program of doing. Just do the steps. So I'd be like, okay, I'll just do the step. And as I did those steps, the cravings for food went away and the mental obsession disappeared. And I do not know how. It is still to me a miracle. And I think about what the big book says, where I got to the place where I went, my ideas didn't work, but the God idea did. What I do know that happened was, I had a spiritual experience. Something in me shifted, and I realized I want a spiritual way of living. And I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it costs me. And that radically changed my life. And that was almost on May 12th, 4 years ago, that has happened. And some things have happened naturally without me thinking about it. There's been weight loss, which has been a gentle weight release of weight, which God has taken care of. I haven't had to think about it, and I haven't had to work at it. That's a miracle. I actually lost interest in my body. I realized how self-focused I was, caring about what people thought about my body and what I think about my body, which is all just me hustling for people's approval. I lost interest in how I look. I'd look at photos and be like, oh, look how cute my daughters look, instead of like, oh my gosh, look my stomach, how dry, or, I lost interest in myself. I gained interest in God as I understood him and others. And that has been the solution that has set me free. And it is a life that my worst days now, I would never exchange them for my best days before. It has been a fantastic new way of living. With that, I'll pass.